Welcome to today's National Community Pharmacists Association conference call entitled Simplify My Meds, Lunch and Learn. During the presentation, all lines will be in a listen-only mode. A question and answer session will follow the presentation, and instructions for asking questions will be given at that time. Thank you for your attention. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Ms. Jennifer Bruckhart.
Thank you, Chris, and good afternoon. Welcome to this month's Adherence Lunch and Learn, brought to you as part of NCPA's Simplify My Meds program. My name is Jennifer Bruckert. I am the Director of Pharmacy Outreach and Special Projects at NCPA, and I will be your host for today's call. Before we begin, for those of you who are not taking advantage of the free NCPA member benefit, Simplify My Meds is a turnkey adherence program that provides pharmacies with tools to implement a medication synchronization program. By consolidating and coordinating a patient's prescriptions so they can all be refilled on the same day each month, pharmacies are able to improve medication adherence among their patients and at the same time streamline their pharmacy operations. To look at the revenue impact that a program like this can have on a pharmacy, please check out our new medication synchronization revenue calculator. The website address is shown on the screen. And this next slide just goes through some of the examples of the types of tools and materials that are provided to pharmacies as part of the Simplify My Meds program, including a pharmacy operations manual, customizable forms, and a free starter kit of marketing materials. You can learn more about this program at www.ncpanet.org/SMM. Before we get started, today's call is being recorded, and the slides and a recording of the call will be available within 24 hours on the NCPA website at www.ncpanet.org/adherence. And now I'm pleased to introduce today's speaker. Dr. Regina Washington is an assistant professor in the Department of Pharmacy Practice at South College, teaching public health courses, and an adjunct professor of public health in the Department of Public Health at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. Dr. Washington has over 10 years of experience in community and academic institutional leadership. She's been involved in the fields of rural health, health equity, health disparities, chronic disease prevention and education, and provider-patient communication for much of her public health career. Her presentations, projects, and writings have been focused on health disparities, health education, and health policy. Most recently, Dr. Washington served as a contributing author on the NCPA AACP Medication Adherence Educators Toolkit, as well as the Colorectal Cancer Screening Manual for the Kentucky Department of Public Health. She has served on the National Association of Chronic Disease Directors Board of Directors, Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky Community Advisory Committee, Kentucky Extension Advisory Council, and President of the Lexington Central Kentucky Section of the National Council of Negro Women. Dr. Washington is also very active in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, serving as chair of the Knox County Health Department Equity Action Team and Community Health Council member. We are very excited to have her here with us today to provide us with tools that pharmacy staff members can use to identify patients at risk for low health literacy and strategies to improve communication and understanding with these individuals. Dr. Washington, welcome.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. What a wonderful and warm introduction. Thank you very much. So it's a pleasure to spend this hour with each and every one of you with regards to health literacy and medication adherence. So this particular topic is near and dear to my heart. As Jennifer shared briefly, I have been entrenched in the health disparities stemming back from my fellowship experience at the University of Kentucky in the rural health policy, as well as cancer health disparities, and then also a second fellowship with the National Institutes of Health. And at this point, this is where I really got connected with some of the actual social determinants of health, and involving not only income and education and geographic location, but also health literacy, has definitely played a role with regards to outcomes, health outcomes. So today is just a pleasure to really talk to you briefly a little bit about health literacy. So today, the objective would be to define health literacy, review the epidemiology of low health literacy in the United States briefly, identify health risk groups for limited health literacy, discuss consequences of limited health literacy, describe the current methods for identifying individuals with limited health literacy, and examine some of the strategies that can be utilized to improve medication management. Let's start off by looking at the definition here. Healthy People 2010 really put out a definition of health literacy as the degree to which individuals have the capacity to obtain, process, and understand basic information and services needed to make appropriate health decisions. Well, of course, as we're moving forward, the Healthy People 2020 also has adopted that. And for some of you that may have not heard Healthy People 2020, these are just national objectives that each state can utilize in order to understand the priorities in the public health delivery of services. And they really define various priorities for each of the states from the national level. We also look at another definition that's provided by the American Medical Association Council, which defines health literacy as the ability to read and comprehend prescription bottles, appointment slips, and other essential health-related materials required to successfully function as a patient. As you and I could pretty much relate that the healthcare system it tends to be a little bit challenging as we navigate through the system. And health literacy is definitely a required skill in order to successfully navigate the healthcare environment. And coming from a pharmacy perspective, I could add in some skills that are required, such as, again, reading the prescription bottles, figuring out appointment slips, but also understanding the labels. And that's important there. And health literacy is context specific, meaning that we have met some excellent, some people who have excellent reading and writing skills and function very well in other environments, such as an accountant, but may still have low literacy, so may still have challenges in the health environment. So again, as we look at health literacy is definitely a major problem. And I'm sure each and every one of you are familiar that, medication adherence is definitely a major outcome here that really affects pharmacy greatly. The cost of non-adherence, as we look at the literature, it tells us that approximately 125,000 deaths annually are attributed to non-adherence. And of course, we're looking at the dollar figure here. Approximately $177 billion annually in direct and indirect costs. That's just annually. And, of course, the pharmacy loses a great deal of opportunity here, too, with non-adherence. And it's valued maybe around like $2.8 billion of some prescriptions that go unfilled. So it's really important here to recognize that public health is a problem. The health literacy is a problem, and it affects all of us, no matter what your background and discipline may be. And as a public health practitioner, I have to put in that, of course, the Agency for Healthcare and Research and Quality supports research to improve health literacy because we know that health literacy affects prevention, healthy living, chronic disease management, patient-centered healthcare, cultural competence, and just to name a few within the health disparities realm. So here in the next slide here, we're looking at some epidemiology. In 2003, the National Assessment of Adult Literacy, the NAAL, surveyed approximately 19,000 adults, and only 12% demonstrated proficient health literacy. And looking on further, is that according to the NAAL, is that nearly 9 out of 10 adults do not have proficient health literacy and therefore may not have the skills to skills required to manage their health and prevent disease. We also look at 14% of adults who are not literate in English cannot perform the basic literacy tasks, such as reading charts and instructions. And 54 million adults with any types of disability are more likely to perform at the lowest literacy levels. And finally, 36% of Americans have limited health literacy skills. And studies actually have provided a strong association between limited health literacy, such as with higher hospitalization rates and also higher chronic disease illnesses. And we have looked at this quite a few ways. And again, it really comes down to, again, the two indicators that I talked to you before, is that income and education are pretty much a strong predictor of various health outcomes. So as we're looking at health literacy, we can look at four basic levels here of health literacy, looking at the below basic, basic, intermediate, and proficient. And the National Assessment of Adult Literacy Survey really provided some good information here. You can see it on a scale here that the household survey found that 14% of American adults function at the below basic level. And we can also see that 22% function at the basic level, and the 53% have intermediate level of the health literacy, and 12% have proficient health literacy. So again, we need to note that it will take at least the intermediate skill level to interpret medication levels. And again, that means that 36% of the adult Americans, approximately 80% of the population, have levels of health literacy below what is required to understand typical medication information. And again, a person can be literate and still have limited health literacy. In fact, approximately 45% of high school graduates have limited health literacy. And so, moving to the next slide, we see various groups at high risk of limited health literacy here, starting with the age 65 and older, populations of color, recent immigrants and refugees, and these also include non-native speakers of English, individuals having less than a high school diploma or GED, people with incomes at or below poverty level, and also those individuals that rate their overall health as being poor. And we also have to look at some of the high-risk groups that have Medicare, Medicaid, or no insurance. And those aged 65 or greater, approximately 81% have low literacy. When we look at more specifically blacks and Hispanic populations, they're more likely to have low literacy, about 77 to 78% compared to 41% of white population. But keep in mind too that the white population is definitely the majority population. So the raw number might look a little different. You might see more of the white population based upon the raw number. And those with the least amount of education have the highest prevalence of limited literacy. So looking at the various consequences here, we're looking at, again, decreased knowledge and understanding of the population who is at who is experiencing limited health literacy, decreased ability for medication and chronic disease management. So this really affects the self-care management skills here that's required. It affects the medication adherence, use of preventive services, and of course that would lead to health, worse health outcomes. And as we discussed, there is an increased cost with hospitalization and also the ER, the emergency visit and emergency department visits, as well as the psychological cost. And a lot of times we leave this one out, but this is where we have to consider that a lot of times people mask their inability to comprehend or to be able to read or even working with the numbers is because it can be embarrassing to some, and they feel shameful because of this lack of skill. So at times, sometimes it's really difficult to even identify these individuals. So again, here also consider their, you know, it's difficult for them to even navigate the healthcare system. And, of course, public health, we're always promoting healthy living and get your preventive services. And as a report that came out in 2004 by the Agency of Healthcare Research and Quality and also the Institute of Medicine, they both concluded that limited health literacy is negatively associated with the use of preventive services such as flu shots, management of chronic conditions like diabetes, high blood pressure, asthma, HIV and AIDS, and some of those types of preventive measures there. So just have to be aware of those items there. Looking at the next slide here, medication adherence, or medication error, excuse me. One particular study looked at how patients would take a certain medication. So they were given a medication bottle, and they were asked, "How would you take this medication?" And as you can see from the slide, almost half did not even understand the instructions of at least one label, and that posed a concern here with this particular study. But it really demonstrates the lack of understanding. Medication regimen may cause patients to be non-adherent. Also, it's interesting to note that for patients with adequate literacy, approximately 38% missed at least one label. So again, you can't tell if someone is actually experiencing limited health literacy just by looking at them. Nowadays, patients are very savvy in masking the sign of limited health literacy. So the pharmacy staff really would play a strong role in recognizing some of the signs and being able to, address that particular individual based upon his or hers limitations. So because we can't tell just by looking at who is affected by low health literacy, we have to advocate using the universal precautions. And that's what we pretty much like to emphasize there, that you want to simplify information for everyone. And by simplifying information for everyone, for all, you really pave the way for improved communication and hopefully improved adherence and health outcomes. So that's very important. And looking at the next slide here, it's just a slide to just illustrate different types of connections here with patients with limited health literacy. If they're receiving inadequate communications from their physician, that's going to be leading towards unfavorable outcomes, possibly. Inadequate communication from pharmacists, again, we're looking at a possible unfavorable outcome. Lack of social support, they don't have anyone to confer with or help guide them through the healthcare system, read different types of information or help them interpret the information. Also, if the brochures or the reading material, medication leaflets are at a higher literacy level than what they can actually comprehend or even interpret. Also looking at the prescription labels, if they're not as clear as they could be. And then also, you know, at times we all have challenges with the medication names in terms of pronouncing the name. So can you just imagine some of those individuals who have limited skill sets there with reading and also communication. But as we begin to work on our pharmacy, community pharmacy practices, we in getting the appropriate communications and also focusing on appropriate medication management, again, the patient will do better, will have better outcomes, and feel a little bit more comfortable. And we'll talk a little bit more about some other strategies in a few slides. There's a sometimes with communication, I know that I'm guilty of this at times, but sometimes our communication with patients can be overwhelming. At times we have a tendency to try to explain everything, give them all the information, you know, all in one visit or one council setting. But it's important for us to recognize that the patient would probably be better off if you can give them just-in-time information or selected information that just brings out the key points. That's important for us to continue to remember. So in leading in with the next slide here and looking at common signs to just recognize, and the pharmacy technicians and some of the actual staff members can really pick up on this at the very beginning. But, you know, sometimes we get, when we hand information out to the patient, sometimes we get a response, oh, I forgot my glasses. I'll need it. I'll read this when I get home. Or I forgot my glasses. Can you actually help me read? Or can you read this to me? Or, you know, another one that I've heard as I worked in the Marquis Cancer Center, working with the patient navigators, is let me just bring this I'll bring this home, you know, so that I can discuss it with my children. So you get a lot of different common signs. They read slowly. The forms are incorrect or incomplete. They bring a friend or a family member. Now, that's a little tricky. I mean, sometimes we like to bring our family members, but that could also be a common sign. Missing appointments, nods in agreement, but doesn't really truly understand. I'm sure some of you all have seen that. And we've got some really nice tools that have been used to actually identify individuals with some literacy issue or limited health literacy. And as we look at the National Assessment of Adult Literacy, they've put out several tools that we'll discuss in a few minutes. But the Rapid Estimate of Adult Literacy and Medicine Test, that's one of the popular ones. It's a 66-item health-related word recognition test, and it's arranged in the order of increasing difficulty. It provides a reading level grade estimate for patients that read below a ninth grade level, and it takes about anywhere between 3 to 5 minutes maybe to administer. And one of the things that I have used, and I'll point this out in the next slide, is a short version to actually, again, be efficient. So, and the other one is the test of functional health literacy in adults. This one, too, has a short version. It does cost to get these particular instruments, like the test of functional health literacy in adults. This provides information about how well individuals read as well. And they have different measurements like inadequate literacy, marginal literacy, adequate literacy. And this instrument costs about $60. So, again, and it takes about 22 to 25 minutes to administer. So, again, I have learned that there are some simple ways to at least, identify the individuals with the short versions of the actual validated instruments. One other one that I want to talk about that's not on the list is what we refer to as single-item literacy screen. And I'll talk to you a little bit about that in a few slides here as we move forward. So now you're looking at a particular slide. One of the actual websites that I found very, very helpful would be the actual Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. They actually came out with a site that's called Pharmacy Health Literacy Center. And this center provides information about how to get your pharmacy ready and ready to meet the needs of the low or the limited health literacy patient and being able to identify them and then also communicate appropriately with them as well as, make sure that they understand what you have provided them in your medication therapy management sessions or even just the one-on-one consultation. So this is a wonderful, wonderful site here. And it also provides a short form of the realm, as we call it. And with this particular form, it is actually a 7-item word recognition test, and it provides the clinician with a valid quick assessment of patient health literacy. So in this situation here, the individual will be given instructions to say each word. And if they are not able to say the word, then they would say blank and move forward. And the patient would actually have 5 seconds to be able to say the word. And it's important that this particular short form only takes less than a minute. So one of the actual pharmacy technicians or staff member could really engage the patient if indeed that you wanted to assess whether or not this person has limited health literacy. And it would take less than a minute to go through this short form. And so this is just one example of a particular way to identify individuals with limited health literacy. The next slide here is also another validated approach here. And what it does is that it's actually using the it's using the simple item literacy screen as well as parts of the test of functional health literacy in adults as well. So it's just taking three questions here. And if you take these three questions, it will actually, depending on what they respond, it will identify if they're having any literacy issue. So take question number one. How often do you have problems learning about your medical condition because of difficulty understanding written information? And there are options here to select always, often, sometimes, occasionally, never. So in terms of always and often, are red flags. And if they are actually selecting these particular choices, then you know that there's a concern with limited health literacy. And this is just another quick instrument that you can use by Chu and colleagues. It's definitely validated and it has been used and has been determined to be effective in identifying individuals that may have issues with reading health materials. Next slide is actually stressing communication. Communication is clear communication on medication and management is very, very important. And here I've just listed a few things here. It's important to increase the health literacy awareness. I would say that each pharmacy that's really interested in getting your pharmacy ready for to meet the limited health literacy would get their health technician trained on health literacy. Definitely, as you're doing your counseling, going through and getting the information on their medication history, have a better understanding of the things that they have been experiencing. Also do a brief pharmacy literacy assessment. The literature is really actually skim when it comes to pharmacy specific. There's a few tools out there, and the ARC, which I call the ARC, is the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. I call that the ARC. The ARC has really done a really good job in bringing all the tools in one location. So they're out there if you'd like to embark upon that. Also, improve medication counseling skills. Here is where you can slow down as you're talking with the actual individual. Take time to counsel them and make sure that they're comfortable. Use in plain language. And when I say plain language, just making sure that it's clear and making sure that you understand that they understand what you're saying to them. Instead of saying hypertension, sometimes we do say hypertension. You can actually say high blood pressure, and they will definitely understand. There, that is a difference there. So just considering that type of communication. Illustration along with verbal communication is definitely important. We're working with people who have different learning styles, so the verbal messages could be reinforced with the written information, and that includes pictures whenever possible. Everybody learns better if information is reinforced in multiple ways. That's just a common understanding. Also, looking at the focusing on three main points. So keep it short and simple, and just kind of highlight three main points, and repeat it frequently, depending on how much time you have with your patient. And one of the most used methods is the teach back method. They also have videos to show how it's to demonstrate teach back methods. You give a verbal communication to the individual explaining how to take a particular medication, and then you stop and then you ask them to in a brief moment, you say, well, I just want to make sure that you understand what I've just told you. Could you tell me what you understand that I've told you about taking this medication? So have the patient restate the instructions is important. Encourage the patient to ask questions. And sometimes we're guilty of just asking them, do you have a question? Do you have any questions? Or we might ask them any questions. But there, if we have just simple changes in our technique, could really encourage the patient to respond back with any kind of concerns or questions, to the point of even ask, what questions do you have, or let me know if you have any concerns or questions. You know, just making them feel comfortable in asking. It's going to be important. So, review and complete regimens and consolidate all medicines in their daily schedule. I know that it's important for us to continue to consider that synchronizing refills is going to be really important, too, so that they are not missing any refills that they're due to receive. And then making sure that they understand each of the medications that they're on. So we're looking at populations that now are on approximately 14 different prescriptions. And to keep track of that, sometimes it can be very challenging, very difficult. But pharmacists and pharmacies are in a very, very key position. As you all know, you're one of the most trusted health providers at the community. And, of course, as we know, you walk in, it's free to walk into a pharmacy. So people are coming into the pharmacies more and more every day. And as you're given your MTMs, you want to definitely consider the health literacy component. And like I said before, the ARC really provides an opportunity for a pharmacy to engage in the assessment of their pharmacy if they're ready to actually meet the needs of limited health literacy, the population. So they have they encourage pharmacies that are interested. They can actually hire consultants, those people who can come in and train the staff. There are videos that are out there that, your staff can actually view themselves and begin to discuss how they can change their approaches or even begin to apply the universal precaution in delivering simplified information to everyone. Again, this is a wonderful opportunity to engage the pharmacy staff and to really meet the needs of our population, especially the limited health literacy population. That concludes the actual slide presentation. At this point, I'd like to begin to open up for discussion, ideas, questions at this point.
Thank you. At this time, we will begin the question and answer session. To ask a question or give a comment, please press 0 followed by 1 on your touch-tone phone. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. If you'd like to ask a question, please press 01 now, and please hold for a moment while our system compiles your responses.
And this is Jennifer from NCPA. I'll just jump in very quickly to say that Dr. Washington got me thinking about a number of resources that she and others provided as part of a toolkit that we developed related to medication adherence and a lot relating to health literacy. I'm going to make sure that along with the recording of today's call and slides, I post a couple of those resources up there, some of them being words to watch, you know, words not to use and instead use simpler terms. I think it speaks a lot toward the issue of health literacy, and Dr. Washington made several references to the teach-back technique, and we do have some resources for that as well that you may want to disseminate and share with your pharmacy staff. So we'll get those posted today as well.
We have no questions from the audience at this time.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, and I want to, you know, personally thank Dr. Washington for being here today and for sharing this information. It's been, you know, I think that health literacy is very, very tied to the issue of medication adherence, and I appreciate everyone being here today. As a reminder, the recording of today's call and the slides will be posted later today or first thing tomorrow at www.ncpanet.org/adherence. And thank you, Dr. Washington.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. This is a wonderful way to improve our quality of healthcare delivery. So I'm very pleased to be able to be here and do this as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you all for your attention. This concludes today's conference call. All participants may now disconnect.